Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Chauncey, it is on and popping in Cleveland.
Oh, yes,
Cleveland
it is.
On the map again.
They won it?
Well, hey, 3-2 right now.
Hey, you're right.
The format was 2 games in Cleveland.
They was running them the other night.
3 games in Chicago. Cleveland won 2 games in Chicago, so there's no going back to Chicago.
It's over.
Okay.
And downtown Cleveland, I've been there before. It's off the chain.
Oh, man.
It's nice.
Now, the night they had to bring, you know, that was the night to open up with the World Series, was in Cleveland the same night that the LeBron and those guys got the ring.
Oh, man. So that night was nice downtown.
Aerial shots. People was everywhere, man. It wasn't nowhere you could stand downtown Cleveland that night.
Look, I remember going to a Nike clinic when LeBron left to Cleveland. It was spots that was there. We was going. They was half finished. And I was like, what happened? It was like, LeBron left. We ain't had enough money to finance what we done.
Right.
But they said, we're going to hold on, though. He might come back.
Prodigal son.
Man. He came back. He brought it back. Okay. So I got to be able to take me another trip to Cleveland.
Oh,
downtown
yeah.
Cleveland is fun. Because we went last summer. We went in last year, October. We had a good time. Ate some good food. Hung out. Got to go to a preseason game. We went to a preseason game last year.
Then.
Yep, so that was fun. Coach Stewart knew somebody on the staff, so we hung out, went to Fridays and everything. So I see it. Cleveland. Yeah.
Cleveland on and popping,
that's
man.
That Dan Gilbert. Then Dan Gilbert just gave Tom Izzo $15 million.
To what?
To the Breslin, to the basketball program.
Really?
He go $15 million. So that's a Spartan alumni that own Quicken Loans, that done pumped almost $400 million in Detroit.
That owns the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And connected with the other one. And then
like
I know
Illich.
And I bet I can guarantee you, like Illich, that's on Little Caesars, right?
Little Caesars and the Tigers.
And guess what? He got him to build that other stadium, that Little Caesars Stadium,
downtown.
To come on downtown. I know Dan Gilbert had something to do with that.
Well,
like, come on, Pistons.
Pistons
y'all come
coming
on.
Downtown.
Yeah, they coming.
Okay.
They showed him what they doing in Cleveland downtown.
The
like,
Palace
look.
Is up for sale.
Yes.
Okay.
Who want it? Nobody want that.
Nobody want it, man.
There's nothing.
I don't know why they even built that place
out
there, man.
You know how they built it.
Just like they did the Pontiac Silver Dome.
They built it because of Coleman Young. You already
okay.
go.
Yeah, right. We don't want to build nothing in downtown Detroit.
Yeah.
To give Coleman Young credit.
That's it.
That was part of the white flight, man.
That's it. Now they coming
but
back.
It's all about coming back. Revitalization, man. Downtown
but
Detroit.
But Dan Gilbert doing his thing. I appreciate that Spartan. And he always hires Spartans, too, for his company.
Great.
He put a lot of money into urban cores. He does. Yeah. Lots of money.
He's committed to Detroit. That's for sure, man.
He committed. He put a big commitment in. If you see downtown Detroit, I wouldn't put it on the scale of New York or anything, but it looks fun.
It's come a long way.
Yeah, it looks like that. That's how you do business.
It's not where they used to be, but it's not where they were either. So.
Yep. And then when the Pistons move downtown, that's going to be more viable for a person that think about getting traded. A free agent. He's like, I can be down here. I can live one of these high-rise condos, come downstairs. I don't have to drive my car.
Right.
I can hang out. I can go to the Lions. I can go to the Tigers.
Yeah, if you like hockey, you can go see the Red Wings.
Yeah, Ballow. I could be at Ballow Island.
Yeah, orchestra.
They got
all the fine arts.
Yes.
Downtown Detroit, man.
Eateries.
It just makes sense.
Shopping.
Yes, sir.
Nike store downtown.
Yeah.
All that.
It's
so
coming back.
We look at that, and then I just looking at things, and it's getting towards the holiday season, and my Spartans last weekend, they held it down.
They were respectable, man.
But thing is, they should have just said Cook down. And that third string quarterback, you know, he broke his leg.
Yeah.
He's the man.
He looked very good.
He looked good.
Yeah, I was impressed with him, man.
We was down 10-30. He was like, I got this.
Right. But you know why they don't want to start him? What is his class?
He's a sophomore. He'll walk in and be in the man.
They don't like, for some reason, like, they don't like D'Antonio
hold out,
man.
Don't he? And it's a wide receiver on the bench that's a freshman. That's unbelievable.
He will not put them up.
They went to Cass.
Yeah.
It's another one that go to Cass, too. But we supposed to have the quarterback from Cass, Michigan State did. But he got into that trouble. So imagine having him scrambling with that arm.
From Cass. Right. He's playing football.
Yeah, in like a D3 school or something.
Yeah, small
school. So they got him in obscurity. But he probably getting everything.
Oh, yeah, they taking care of him as long as he take care of himself. But that's why that boy Mike Weber went to Ohio State.
Yep.
Okay, because notoriously, Michigan State don't play underclassmen.
They sit you down.
They sit you
down. Look at Peppers. Man. You're like, where he come from? But he been on that team.
That's right.
Taking L's.
But it's about to change in Michigan. Okay, because old dude realized, man, it's okay. Because Peppers are going after this year. We know that.
Yeah, he's gone.
So you give a kid his stature, he come to Michigan, you can play right now.
Yeah,
that's the key to winning football games is don't hold kids back. Let them play when they're ready.
You're right. Let them play.
Kentucky, one and done, right?
That's right. That's right. Kentucky, one and done. I say we here today on our show talking about holiday spending. Just get ready to spend that holiday money.
Yes, everybody's gearing up. I was in the store today, and there was a sign in there called pre-Black Friday sale.
Pre.
So now
that means they overstocked.
Okay, and it's time to take advantage of it. But, yeah, let's talk about how folks need not get caught up in the hype
of
shopping.
Not get, I was listening to a sermon earlier this week, and it was by Creflo Dollar. He was talking about imagination and creating things, and he said it was some years ago, him and his wife, it was around the holiday time, and he said he's not going to spend all this money on all these gifts.
Not
and I was like, and I've got to that point myself, but I really liked how he approached it. He approached it where he got to grab like a Santa bag or something.
Oh, okay then, yeah.
And he put all his bills.
The old stocking.
Yeah,
the old stocking.
Yeah, he took a stocking and he put all their bills, major bills, in his stocking, right? And he said, what we're going to do for Christmas until the next year is we're going to pay off the smallest bill till we work up the largest bill.
Okay.
Because he wanted, for Christmas, what we want next Christmas is to be debt-free.
It's a great Christmas present.
And he said, every time they got some money, they pulled a bill out, and they paid it off. And it got to the point where they didn't owe nobody.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was just like, that intrigued me, and it got me to be like, wow, that's what it's all about.
It is. It is. I mean, it's like, you know, they may have still had a house note, but that's not considered a bill, truly. Because if you're managing it right, it's an investment. So you can't categorize that as a bill.
Yeah.
So.
But like you said, those pre-sales or like going on a business trip or getting some excess money, I find a lot of people that they do a lot of excess shopping. They get had things and they do things and they ride them out. And I brought in some pointers today, but I was walking to school today. I got these shoes on. And I remember one of my
Marleys you got on, man.
I'll tell you what I got on. I'm going to tell you the story of them. First, one of the Detroit Lions got me to buy a pair of these.
Okay.
It was a short guy. I can't remember his name. I think his name probably was Charles or something. He ended up playing for Denver after that. This was back in like 2005. These shoes are 2005.
Okay, then.
So we in Macy's. I'm in Macy's with him and Jason Randall.
Okay.
Jason Randall played for the Lions at this time, too. And we hanging out together before we go. You know, go eat and do something. They trying to show me big league. I'm just a regular educator.
Right.
So I go with them. He said, man, you need some of these shoes. And I was like, they were some Cole Haans. And he's like, these are Venturas I have on my feet. It's the first pair I ever had. So I put them on my feet. He said, and it was like, it cost like $100-something. I was like, that's expensive. He said, man, you're going to get your wear out of these. Now, I still got the same shoes on that he said you get your wear out of them. So I ended up buying a pair. And I was like, man, I spent all this money for these shoes. I ain't gonna be able to do nothing with them. So I put them on. I was like, ooh, it feel like I'm walking on some pillows.
Okay.
Cause they got the Nike pocket in them and you can wear them with dress clothes, wear them with jeans. So I feel comfortable. So today I'm in school in them. Now these shoes I had since 2005, I was getting them buff.
11 years old.
Yeah, so then now I'm gonna take it off cause I'm here with you. So I was clean and everything, but I got to really describe what happened. So I'm walking down the hallway today. And my insole just mess up. And one of my students say, man, your shoe fell apart. I say, these shoes, handmade leather, since 2005.
You got a sole on that shoe, man.
Man.
It still got sole on
it
that
still
shoe.
Still got grip on the bottom.
Yeah.
But look at everything else. But there ain't no holes in it. Nothing.
Nope. That's quality material.
That's
man.
Quality material. So it's like, when you think about really doing something around the holiday time, I ain't talking about buying those six pair of shoes. It's one pair I bought, somebody recommended to me that was a millionaire. It's like, you need these shoes. You can do everything in them.
Mm-hmm.
And from coaching, running up and down the court in them, I done did probably everything I probably could in them. So just, I'm not trying to get them a shout out, but I will be mailing this shoe back, even though I had it 10 years.
Send it back.
And let them know that I really appreciated how long they lasted, but at the same capacity, like just show them their model. And
right, the other shoe in good shape.
Yeah, it's falling apart too, but.
Okay, but you can't tell it.
Yeah, but I got a story. When you got a story for something, that means you really thought about buying it.
Right.
So during this holiday season, don't be just be buying stuff. Don't be just be buying the garbage and
do your research
and looking at things. So I got some pointers today. Go right into some of them. The first one is, it says, recognizing emotional spending. So like when I talked about the shoe, like during the holiday time, you said the pre-sale.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
How they hit you with the pre-sale? Was a sign real big?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It was a big sign, man. So what happens is, so they know what the rush is, right? For the Black Friday. So what they're gonna do is they're gonna offer other sales prior to that. So those folks that don't normally partake in that are more apt to maybe come in and see it and maybe purchase it. But it's designed really for those folks that don't wait for Black Friday, because they're not going to have that much on sale for that pre-Black Thursday or Black Friday sale. So it's just another marketing gimmick to get you into the store to spend your money. You know, and it's around the holidays, so we know how people get depressed around holidays. So this might be geared for those folks that have a little bit of depression going on. And the way the emotional piece to it is that I'm going to go shopping and make myself feel good.
You're exactly right. That's what I have in my notes. It says, maybe you spend more money for emotional reasons. For example, like think about when you feel sad or disappointed or when you want to celebrate a success. Do you head to the mall or click on your favorite retail website? Do you treat yourself to an expensive meal or a weekend getaway even though you really can't afford it? Do you say this to yourself, like, I deserve it?
Oh yeah, people do that.
You might just deserve some sleep.
Yep.
Because I know what I did last Friday. I went to the sauna and the jacuzzi at the Y, and I was like, oh, this feel good.
Uh-huh.
And the membership paid already.
Okay.
So I thought about that. I'm like, that ain't cost me nothing. That's
right.
That's already calculated. Quick relaxation.
But that's part of your budget.
It's part of my budget. That's already counted out.
That's what you do for relaxation.
Yep, that's my relaxation. Right. If I have something else planned, it's going to be programmed.
Yeah.
No, I ain't going to the club.
Right. So some folks do that now. All right, they go there and they buy all the expensive drinks.
High priced bottle.
And then when they get out, they're like $200 short, $250 short of what they was when they went in, and now they feel good.
But they had a good time.
Okay. So, but you had a good time too. It didn't cost that much.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the day most of the spending. Now, look, it says it talks about overspending, but at the same time, it breaks it down into living for the moment. So like you just said, mentioned this is living for the moment. Hinkle's a point for living for the moment. Use credit too much. Like, oh, I'm about to go hang out. I got to use my credit card and get this outfit so I can just walk around. Or don't try to pay off your credit balances as quick as possible, using the rationale that there will be plenty of time to do that later. So, like, you're doing the holiday time. I got to get these kids these gifts. I got to look like I'm a good parent.
Right.
I got to make sure I take care of my kids. My kids ain't on me walking in no shoes falling apart. Kids, now I'm not going to have them like that. My baby, 6 months, he got to have the Jordans.
Right.
My child got to have some True Religions. He got a good report card. He need them $300 pair of jeans.
Yeah, right.
No, he don't.
No.
Levi's do the ticket. Better go to JCPenney.
Give him a nice pair of jeans and open up him a savings account.
For Christmas.
Okay.
That's your Christmas present, a savings account. And then whatever you wanted that was crazy, I'm going to buy you some stock in that company.
Right.
And let the fools pay you back.
Yep. Do an E-Trade, Scott Trade, whatever. It's very simple to go online and do that.
Yep. I got an automatic trade. I think I do mine on Capital One Investing. And I used to be a sneakerhead. So what I do now, I spend $75 a month on Under Armour and Nike.
Okay.
No, it's biweekly. I spend $75 every 2 weeks on that. So that's $150 a month. That could be a jogger suit. That could be a pair of sneakers. That could be a hat or, you know what I'm saying, just some sports paraphernalia.
Mm-hmm.
I just spend $150 a month on stock in those two companies. So it's giving me the mindset of the emotional spending, like, oh, I just bought some Nikes. I just bought some Under Armour.
That's right.
And then I'm watching. I'm like, go Curry. Go Durant. Go. Drop the KD9s, Durant. LeBron, you going to make a new shoe? You making a new shoe, LeBron?
We get paid.
Oh, 51 points? Westbrook? Yeah. Sean Davis? Get them buckets.
Yeah.
Because you're going to drive my stock up. I'm rooting for you.
That's how you do it.
That's how you do it. Every month I'm looking like, oh, what his stats look like? Oh, LeBron won another championship. Kyrie Irving's looked pretty good.
Okay.
Because, like, in my situation, I don't have to buy sneakers or anything because we coach.
Oh,
so I'm getting two or three pair discounted anyway because I'm serving the community and I'm helping. So I get a discounted price. So I don't need to buy shoes like that.
Yeah,
and then, like, I told you my story about the sneakers I got on my Cole Hans is 15 years old. I'm kind of sad. I got other pair, but I'm looking at these. Like, these are my first pair.
Okay.
I'm hurt. They don't even make these no more.
Send them back.
But I'm sending them back. But it helps you look at it in a different angle. It says, rarely if you ever take time to balance your checkbook and check out your credit reports, credit score much less developed, and use a household budget. That's somebody that's living for the moment. They don't do those things.
Nope.
And this day and age, Tony, it's so simple that you can have everything set up on your phone. Mm-hmm. You can click on a website, everything show up. Bank account, balance, credit report services, all that can be done on the phone.
Monthly statement to tell you exactly where your money went, what buckets it was for. If it was utilities, transportation, food, whatever. At a glance, man. So it's very easy today to be able to track your spending.
The next one is saying, equating stuff with success. Now, it says you may have the misconception that you are what you buy, which means the more you spend, the more successful and important you are. It's easy to develop that mindset because we are bombarded with messages that equate money and stuff with success. How often do you see ads promoting frugality, saving, or self-denial?
That's not very popular on Madison Avenue.
They're like, wow, I save $500.
Right.
I pay all my bills off this month with this new program. Mm-hmm. My credit score is 780. Okay. I don't know what life would be like. It's just beautiful.
Okay. Got my credit swag on.
That's right. When the last time we seen a commercial like that? And like being in the business that we are in, I'm always cognitive and I'm always thinking that at first I was not taken too well, and I'm still not taken too well in certain spheres of life, mm-hmm. certain aspects of life. But with the people that I wholeheartedly affected, even with financial literature and the programs that I do, if they have done everything and they've been contacting with me throughout, they either send me clients or they always send me inboxes of appreciation. Uh-huh. Like, I really appreciate you. You changed my life. You changed my way of thinking about money. You changed my whole emotions. And when I say emotions, it's an E in front of emotions, okay?
Right.
And then the word motion means movement. Mm-hmm. So let me bring on my friend Rodney Walker. He has this equation that we created a couple years ago, and he talks about emotion being your emotions over your intelligence. If you function that way, you could be moved easily. And let's look at and we're talking about mental health, though.
Right.
And he said from the financial aspect, we're talking about dealing with behavior, but from the financial aspect, you could be moved emotionally by a song in a store, mm-hmm. by your current relationship. For guys, I'm going to say this right now on air. There's no man in this world don't do nothing because a woman don't approve it. Everything a man has done is because of a woman's approval.
Okay.
That's just period stamp on it. Now, depending on what woman moves your emotions, mm-hmm. because if you're not acting intelligent, you can't really be moved. Then you're like, oh, I'm not going to do that. I don't care if you like that woman. We do it this way.
Right.
So now your emotions are not moving you to a situation where you're you overspending. Okay. You're like, no, you like me because of who I am, not because how I spend and what I currently have in my possession.
But a lot of women do. You know that, Chauncey.
Yep. So a lot of men are moved in their emotions because of the relationship that who they with, mm-hmm. caused them to spend money on certain things.
Right.
And I can remember, like, just being the relationship I'm currently in with my wife. I can remember when we first went on our first date, I didn't try to please her, but I was used to doing certain things.
You tried to impress her.
Yeah, I was. I probably was. But we went to a restaurant. We was going to several restaurants dating, and she was going back and forth to school, so we'll date. And it's around the holiday time. So, you know, holiday time, you eating, and I was single time, so I'm eating all the time. I'm eating out.
Right, eating out, right.
Yeah, eating out all the time. And I wasn't cooking, but I did have groceries and everything. I had all that in the house, right? So we go to a restaurant, and I think the bill's like, I'm trying to impress, it was like $179.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money,
that's
right?
A lot of money.
So we in downtown Detroit, and that's the kind of behavior that I had because that's the environment I put myself in at first. Mm-hmm. It's like 2004, 2005. I put myself in that environment. And I had it at the time, and I had it planned that this is what I was going to do. I had the excess. Business was going well. So I'm thinking, I'm like, all right, she liked this. She liked this. So then we started getting real serious. She's like, look, you need to chill out.
All right. Thank you.
I like you. Like, you don't, I don't like what you spend. I like you.
Your spending habits are not impressing me.
Yeah, so you're not impressing me. Like, I'm looking at, we going places, and you spending all this money. Like, what are you trying to do?
Yeah.
I'm like, I just.
We could have went to the beef carver. You remember the beef carver?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know about the beef carver.
Beef carver, brother, used to serve up some good meals, and they weren't expensive.
They still around.
Flaming Ambers.
They still around. They still around, beef carver.
Yeah.
With the hatchet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They still around.
I think one down on Telegraph, if I'm not mistaken, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know what you're talking about. Yep.
Flaming Ambers.
So that's what she did. She started saying, I want some tail weight. I'm like, that was like a Mr. Quick over there. I want this. I'm like, really? She's like, yeah, that don't matter to me. I don't like guys like that.
No, I don't need the linen in China to sit down and eat.
She said, sometimes it's okay. Yeah, we celebrate something.
Special occasion.
We can plan for it. And I was like, I started thinking, I said, like, you the one then.
Okay.
You the woman I need.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll magnify everything I was doing. And then that's how I got to the point of writing the book that I got.
Okay.
Me and her sitting down and just going through things and restructuring our lives in a way where we can save those pennies on a dollar because she came to my relationship and I was emotionally moved to think intelligently about money.
Right.
Even though I was in business, I was working in mortgages, I was doing things with credit, but it was like, it was coming in, surplus was coming in. And I was like, well, I'm going to eat here. I'm going to go do this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in a situation where I was around people that didn't really care how frugal I was or how loose I was with money. They was like, oh, he got it.
Okay.
He got the bill. He got this.
Yeah.
So.
It's not good, man.
And those relationships ended as soon as she stepped in and my financial literacy became greater.
Uh-huh.
Because somebody was like, I don't want you for those things. You don't have to be, you don't have to have this. You don't have to have that. So that made me really evaluate not only my relationship, but my relationship with money. So that put me in a situation. So when we on the air talking, ladies and gentlemen, this it's really about how we come at you. Like my bill situation is different. And before we got on air, Tony was talking about he had went to a church. And I'll let you elaborate more on that when the pastor told y'all to bring all y'all bills in.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Yeah, it was afternoon service and it was sort of like a guest speaker, and they was going to have evening service, and they said that they wanted everybody to bring back their bills to the evening service because, you know, we're going to pray and ask God for good financial principles to eliminate debt. And when we went back to the church, it was like we just walked into the church, and everybody else had their little satchels and little bags or what have you with their bills in it.
Bible stacked with envelopes.
Right. You know? And it was like, what's up? We don't have any bills. Okay? The only bill we got is a mortgage. And like I say, I don't consider that a bill. That's an investment. So, and that's been like, I don't know, sorry, 20 years ago. Okay? And it's just something, it's a lifestyle now. Okay? When you learn how to be debt-free, it becomes a lifestyle. Because now when things happen, you know, there's always an emergency fund. So when something comes up, we've got money to go buy. It's like now we want to, you know, like remodel the kitchen. So we'll remodel the kitchen.
Cash it out, not financing.
But it's going to be strictly cash. Okay? And everything we do, that's how it's done, man. If I charge it up, I like to charge car because I get my frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, so you pay it off every month.
Every month. I haven't paid a minimum bill on a credit card since they've been making them.
That means you don't got no money. If you got to pay the minimum bill, you shouldn't even have that credit card.
Don't do it, man.
It's credit card, man, you pay it off every month. So it is.
Yeah.
But well, that's an amazing story, hearing that. See, my shoe falling apart.
Credit card, well.
My shoe is really falling apart.
You're going to get some more, trust me.
Yeah, I am, but this is my first pair. But I'm going to mail these back because I'm like my brother Tony. Yeah. I like my brother Tony. I'm going to take a picture now. I'm going to tag my friend Jason in that picture. Be like, remember these shoes?
Yeah,
he got a pair too. So I was telling him, I think he probably kept his.
So said, I'm sending him on back. He might not even know what Jason may not even know where them shoes are today.
Yeah,
man.
He might still got them because he frugal.
Okay.
That brother frugal. He was getting NFL money and he wasn't spending nothing.
That's what I'm impressed with, man.
He's doing good today. He's a sheriff in Virginia and I'm proud of him.
Well, good.
Yep. So I just look back over that situation and I just think back when I had the shoes today. My shoe was like, your shoe falling apart.
And that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wear them I got shoes where, for whatever reason, the heel might wear out. I don't throw those shoes
away. You re-heel that.
I take that bad boy because we don't have many choices in shoe shops, but that's what we do. You know, we take them back and get them repaired.
Re-heeled and the leather conditioned again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, stretch it out.
But the little things, you know, if you can't do the little things when it comes to trying to preserve your money, it's going to be hard to do the big things, Charles.
Yeah, I know. You're right. And you're right. And like the big things, like we talk about, I don't know why I've been on this, but I know why. God is trying to really move me in my spirit. It's saying that, really saying that God said, trust me with the least.
Okay. That's,
he's saying it. Trust me with the least. And the least being money, sowing to his system. I mean, everybody that I know that's been wealthy and consistent, they're givers and they receive, but they also believe in just making sure that the kingdom gets theirs.
Okay.
I mean, anybody that I know that's really living a sound life financially, that's not squandering, into partying, that's not into excessive anything, they give. And they talk about being so consistent with their giving.
Right.
Even in their struggles.
Okay. Think about it. Think about the success stories as we look around us, those individuals. Rarely are those stories intertwined with stupidity. Okay. Like,
it's like they find these defining moments in their life that if I'd just given for God the whole time, the doors would have been open already.
Okay. And so why would you, you know, like go to a club and make it rain with 10, 15 grand? I mean, what is the purpose in
What's the point? Yep.
All right. I would just feel better if it was a church on the corner.
And I just gave him an envelope with $10,000.
A struggling church and walked up to the pastor and said, here, man, this is for the work that you do.
Yes, right.
Okay. And keep it moving.
That's right.
But to do, when I see that, man, that really tells me the level of intelligence.
That's crying out for attention. That goes back to the one topic that mentioned equating stuff with success or the relationship that somebody has with money. Easy come, easy go.
A fool and his money will soon part. And trust me, I won't put my tongue on some of them, but I see some of them right now that's headed down that road.
Yeah, I see it. I see it all the time. Like I said, it's the same pastor. He had preached a sermon talking about. He said, don't get offended by the people that's wasting the money when you doing everything right, audience. When you start paying your bills and you paying your tithe first, and you do it like I said for Christmas, and you don't buy all that crazy stuff, and you get that what's it called, the little stocking, and you put all your bills in the stocking, and you with your family, your wife or your fiance or whoever you with, you sit there and say, baby, what we gonna do for Christmas? We gonna pay our bills down.
Yes.
We're going to get our credit right. We're going to do this. We're going to do A, B, and C. And by next year, we're going to be able to take a big vacation because all these bills are going to be paid. And it's not going to cost us as much.
Right.
And looking back at that and seeing that, it makes me think about how everything is made for the righteous. Yes. Even the people that you think, like, you're like, I done budgeted. I done paid my tithes. I done did everything I'm supposed to do. Every person you see out here that's not living the right way, righteously, it's like, and in the pastor, I'm going to quote him correctly, he said, it's like they are building a storehouse up to give to the righteous. Mm-hmm. It's like the cars they collecting, the houses they collecting, everything they collecting and being selfish with, he going to let them build it all up. Because all they doing is scattering. They get ready to scatter it back to you. All
right.
You're going to walk into a situation where somebody's going to say, here go these house keys. These yours. They're like, what you talking about? Hey, we got so many houses in the land bank. Somebody mentioned your name, said you'd be a good person living in this community.
Right.
Here go a 4-bedroom flat.
Okay.
With a big backyard here.
All yours.
Please, can you just come on, just sign the papers. I got a down payment. It don't matter. Here. You would be a good person for it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That season is getting ready to enter.
It happens.
It's getting ready to enter in our community where people looking at people, they thinking they blessed. They are not blessed. They are gathering for you. Mm-hmm. If you're doing the right thing and you being righteous with the money and you making sure you trusting God with the least and you making sure that you being a good steward over everything else you have, they getting some keys ready for you to walk through the door of a house. The keys of the vehicle you want. I'm not talking about prosperity. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being a good steward. Mm-hmm. You giving a guy and he's saying, I'm going to give you sevenfold. And I'm not talking about just sevenfold financially back, sevenfold in knowledge, mm-hmm. in love, in the relationships you have, in a sovereign mind. You know, your salvation, just all those things and building you to the expectation. That's what I want everybody to go into the holiday season. Go in and be set apart. Be sanctified and say, boom. So you say, well, that's a nice BMW.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
That's nice. I like them. They're nice.
I like that.
Don't mean I need to have one.
Don't mean I need to have one.
Okay.
But if somebody give you the keys, like Tony Young, I can't do nothing with this, man. It's getting on my nerves, man. Okay. It break down every time I get it. You can have it.
Thank you very much.
It come like that.
Thank you very much.
And it do come like that.
Oh, yes, it do.
In due season, it do. They reap a great reward.
I can break some people on here that will truly testify that it has happened.
It has happened. So I just want our audience to get a hold of topics I mentioned, like educating themselves with relationships with money. Don't equate stuff with success. And it was one more, and they mentioned that living from moment to moment and being emotionally moved by money. Mm-hmm. You know, just like it's a feel-good thing to spend it. Make it a feel-good thing to save it. Make that the new swag, like I say this.
Right.
Or like I told you, my thing was I love sneakers early on in my life. So I'm like, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend $75 every 2 weeks on sneakers, stock.
Okay.
Sneaker stock, $75 every 2 weeks.
I look at mine.
If it grow or if it come down.
Oh.
If I buy the shoes, they're going to tear up anyway.
Yeah.
So, but if I build up stock and it keep on growing and I'm at home on the internet watching them game, like I watched the Chicago Bulls play last night. I'm like, okay, I'll look at Rondo. Look at they played the Celtics. I'm like, okay, what kind of shoes he got on? All right, he out there representing for me.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Now I look like a vested owner something.
You are a stockholder.
So let's get to that point, audience, and just don't be financially moved this season by the music when you walk in the store.
No.
I wouldn't even take my debit card or my credit card in. Whatever I'm supposed to be go getting, if I say I'm going to spend $500 this Christmas season, or we're going to do a potluck thing, or we're going to pull names, that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to bring a cake or a turkey or something to the dinner.
We're going to have a good fellowship.
Yeah, that's $200 out your pocket. If you got kids, go back to what my father said. I think we talked about this last season. Want and a need.
And a need.
You get a want and a need.
That's it. And stick to it.
You stick to it. What you want, what you need.
Yeah.
You get two of them, you good.
That's it. That's your question.
And have a good meal and buy somebody a gift for the family. Do that potluck thing for cooking. Mm-hmm. You'll be happy. And you'll get a lot of laughs.
That's it. That's it. Good stuff, man. Absolutely good stuff.
So I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.